Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday's juz: in what year was Surah Ali Imran revealed? Hijri. In what Hijri year was Surah Ali Imran revealed? So go ahead and answer below, bidhnillahi ta'ala. We want to welcome you all back and remind you, inshallah ta'ala, to please contribute to Yaqeen this Ramadan, bidhnillah. If you haven't already, you're already 4 days in, so please, inshallah ta'ala, sign up for either an automated donation or make sure that you're, inshallah ta'ala, giving to Yaqeen, as well as the many other worthy institutions and causes that are out there. Ramadan is a month of charity, and we hope, inshallah ta'ala, that generosity is showing. Also, follow along the ebook that you can download below, inshallah ta'ala, so that you're preparing for these ajza in advance, bidhnillah. I hope you've been enjoying them so far. Today we have, of course, as always, Sheikh Abdullah Oduro. And we are blessed with Dr. Ansi Tamara Gray, alhamdulillah, from Rabata here in Minnesota. It's a blessing to have you. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
We always look forward to it. Alhamdulillah. Last time we had you and Sheikh Mawlid together on Zoom. This time we decided to kick Sheikh Mawlid out of the picture. You know, no, we have Sheikh Mawlid, alhamdulillah.
Because we stood together for Minnesota.
That's right. We've got a lot. Like, we had the Michigan crew.
Yeah.
Dr. Chesneem is from Michigan too. Imam Tom might as well be from Michigan at this point. You know, he's there so much with the whole abandoned Biden stuff. We got Minnesota, mashallah. So we're going to the battleground states for Quran 30 for 30. That's what it feels
alhamdulillah.
Like.
Alhamdulillah.
Nice.
Texas is not really a... Texas is a battleground, but it's not a battleground state, right?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So inshallah ta'ala, with that, dear brothers and sisters, we will go ahead and we will start with juz number 4. So the verse that I will be covering, bidhnillahi ta'ala, is verse 117. In Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَثَلِ رِيحٍ فِيهَا صِرٌ أَصَابَتْ حَرْثَ قَوْمٍ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَأَهْلَكَتْهُ وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the example of the good that they do in this worldly life, who is they? It's speaking about the disbelievers, specifically the disbelievers of Quraysh, which I'll talk about in a moment, inshallah ta'ala. The example of the good that they do in this worldly life is like the harvest of an evil people struck by a bitter wind, destroying it completely. Allah never wronged them, but they wronged themselves. So what is this referring to? SubhanAllah, it's really interesting because this surah is connected, of course, to the Battle of Badr and then the Battle of Uhud as well. You kind of have the elements of both of them in Surah Ali Imran. Al-Baqarah, more of a Badri reality, and then a Badr and Uhud reality in Surah Ali Imran. But I want you to think about those that spent on the war on the Muslims and actually got praised for it. Like, it's really interesting. You know, what I'd liken it to today is, imagine an IDF fundraiser, you know? So, and there are lots of them that are happening. Someone raising their hand to spend money on a genocide and actually being praised for it, right? Like, what are you actually spending on? How can you be praised for your evil? Your philanthropy, your generosity is upon evil, right? SubhanAllah, some of the scholars say that this was referred to Abu Sufyan, or referring to Abu Sufyan when he wasn't a Muslim, and he was giving in sadaqah to finance the battle against the Muslims in Badr and Uhud and being praised for that. So in Badr, of course, Abu Sufyan did not attend, but he spent in charity against the Muslims, financing the Meccan army to go carry out the massacre. And then, of course, not only spent in Uhud and financed, but participated in the Battle of Uhud against the Muslims. And it's so clear, subhanAllah, when you see the example of that today. You know, a philanthropist spending on the most genocidal army in the world right now as they carry out their genocide against our brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Allahumma ameen. But I want to connect this to the original context as well as the previous juz. First and foremost, the previous juz, subhanAllah, we talked about the believers asking Allah for forgiveness for their shortcomings. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Such a sincere plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our sins, whether they're done knowingly or unknowing, major or minor, and to forgive us for the inherent shortcomings within our good deeds and within our output, and to feel deficient before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because no matter what we put forward of good, we know that it is not enough in that we can never match the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards us. So the believer is humble in their dua. The believer is humbled with their dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah has done so much for us and we have not done enough in return. look at the difference here. So the believer has all this hope in the hereafter that Allah will overlook the difference. These people give out of riya, out of showing off, because they're certainly not seeking a reward in the hereafter for financing a genocide or for financing a genocidal or evil pursuit, right? And the same thing was true for the people of Badr and Uhud on the other side. They didn't believe in an akhirah. So why were they doing this? This sum'ah, al-riya was sum'ah, to be seen and then to have their name have a high reputation amongst their people. And Allah is saying the example of that is like a people that planted these beautiful trees, these gardens, and they hoped for a harvest. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a bitter wind that completely destroyed it and reduced it to nothingness, right? And Allah is saying that is their situation on the day of judgment. And Allah makes it a point to say, وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah did not wrong these people. This is not Allah oppressing them. This is them oppressing themselves. How do we connect this, subhanAllah, to the previous juz? In the previous juz, look how merciful and forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to us and not burdening us beyond our scope. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla does not wrong us, because even when we wrong ourselves, if we're sincere in going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He not only overlooks, وَعَفْوَ عَنَّا وَاخْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا, He not only overlooks and pardons and doesn't punish us, He even gives us Jannah. He even rewards us, despite those shortcomings and despite us wronging ourselves. So Allah is saying these people wronged themselves and they did not seek a recourse. And for such an evil deed, they should expect no reward on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our sadaqah, our charity to be sincere. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. And may Allah protect us from ever resembling in any way the evil traits of these people that are being described in these ayat. Allahumma ameen. Sheikh Abdullah, tafadhal.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. Just as Sheikh Omar concluded with a dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His virtues, His blessings, to honor us, inshallah ta'ala, I want to kind of mention a statement or an ayat that is at the veil. It's at the very end of a set of du'as that are made in the chapter of Al-Imran, verses number 193 to 195, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the believers, 192 roughly to 195. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating the du'a, or the du'as, the supplications of the believers when they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His virtues. So for example, verse 193, they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ أَمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. And then they are talking about, they say, O our Lord, we indeed hear a crier calling to the faith, saying, we believe in your Lord. So we did believe. Our Lord, forgive us for our sins and wipe out our evil deeds and make us die with the truly pious. Ma'al abrar. Then he mentions the dua, another dua that they mention. And there's a long verse in verse number 195. And from this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their Lord answered their prayer thus, I will not suffer the work of any of you, whether male or female, to go to waste, each of you from one another. And then he mentions those that emigrated, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. The ones that hajaru, and they were exited from their homes, and they were, there was pain that was stricken amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He will expiate them for their sins. Their sins will be expiated. They will be rewarded, inshallah, and He will erase their sins. But there's a verse that comes after that I want to capitalize on, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all of this, He says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد متاع قليل ثم مأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something here. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد. Do not, O Messenger, do not let the strutting about the unbelievers in the land deceive you. Now, this is very, very, very important, because we as Muslims sometimes, we may fall for that what we see in front of us from those that may not believe and hold our values, and maybe even ridicule our values as though they are the quote-unquote winners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يغرنك من غرر. Do not be deceived by those that disbelieve. تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد. تقلب, يعني they're all, what they're doing in this earth. Don't let that deceive you. It may look as though they are winning, but in reality, because you are a person of transcendence, that what you believe is beyond the tangible, it is connected with the creator in the heavens and the earth, that is already a starting point for being the ultimate winners, because we believe that there's a next life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you, do not be deceived by those of the unbelievers in the land. Don't let that deceive you. Don't let what they have received or what they will be receiving from what they and we in this earth may see as a success. Understanding the real meaning of success for the believer is very, very important because our standards are different. What we see as success is connected to Iman, it's connected to belief, it's connected with the relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you and he says, these people that disbelieve, that voluntarily disbelieve in Allah and maybe even cause harm to the people that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ. He said, this is but a trifling and fleeting enjoyment. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also calls the dunya mata'un, the mata', the enjoyment, something that is brief. This life is temporary. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and our affair is not except the time span of the blinking of an eye. This worldly life, this physical life is temporary. Let's not trade it for something that is not in our benefit. We want to make sure that when we live this life, we live it as people that are conscious and present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. And the presence of Allah is present in our hearts. We recognize his greatness and that has an influence on what we think, what we believe, obviously, and what we do. And anything that is in contradiction to that, it doesn't faze us. As a matter of fact, we want to stay away from it. And that is the mata' of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mata'un qaleel. It is something that is a brief enjoyment. Thumma ma'wahum jahannam. And then their final abode is the hellfire. Because voluntarily disbelieving and voluntarily doing the actions of disbelief, which could at times be ridiculing those that believe, gives a reward of jahannam, of the hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ. And that is an evil resting place. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those of the people of heaven, the people of Jannah, for the struggles that we may go through and allow this struggle to be something for our benefit and to make us see haqqan, to make us see the reality, the truth as it really is, and to not be deceived by those temporary pleasures that can divert us and take us away from our ultimate final purpose in life. Barakallahu feekum. Dr. Tamara.
Thank you. MashaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallam barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. We can continue this vein of thought in verse number 103. وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on to the rope of Allah, all of you. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And don't become divided. I want to start with the beginning of that, which is to hold on to the rope. What is the habl of Allah? What is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's Ramadan. And we're being clearly directed to hold on to that which will hold us up. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, each one of us individually and together, we have to hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rope of Allah is in our prayer. It is in our recitation of Quran. It is in our fasting. It is in our devotion to our worship acts. It's also in devotion to our people. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. So when do we divide up? When do we break up? We break up with our friends. We break up with our family. We break, and I don't mean here break up. I mean we break, we fight, we argue. Maybe in Ramadan we're getting hangry. Don't be hangry in Ramadan. Ramadan is a time to be understanding and loving. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't differentiate one amongst the other. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember Allah's blessing upon you. SubhanAllah. When we are in our families and we are amongst the people that love us and we love them, sometimes we are the least polite. Sometimes we are the least of the people that the Prophet ﷺ would recognize as Muslims. We might go to the coffee shop after Maghrib and be all smiles for the person who's selling us coffee, but all day long we're cranky at home. Your family deserves, as the lowest rung of behavior, how you treat the person at the coffee shop. That's the lowest rung. And that's family. That's also our community and our wider community. We want to make sure that in our hearts, in this Ramadan, we take time, we look deeply into our hearts, and we make sure we don't belittle any Muslim anywhere. Not as an individual, not as a group. that we are, our hearts are filled with love and respect and looking up to and adoration for our Muslim Ummah. That doesn't mean we can't recognize things that are happening that are not following the Sunnah, are not in the correct. But we recognizing what is wrong is not the same as looking down. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا means we have to come together. And this verse, in the second part of it, is very scary. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى الشَّفَى. You were at the edge. حُفْرَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. Ya Latif, when I think about this, I imagine people standing at the very edge of a pit of fire. And the flames are coming up and their eyelashes and their eyebrows are being singed. And who's coming to pull them back? Who's coming to pull them back? This is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who came and pulled us back. This is the, you are there to pull other people back. This is Ramadan that is here to pull us back away from the fire. When it is the rope of Allah that we hold onto that pulls us back from the fire. Just hold on. This is a verse of hope. Hold on to the robe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that if you find yourself at the edge with the fire singeing your face and you're hot and uncomfortable and you're losing hope and you think there's no hope for you and you think there's no hope for us as an ummah, let the rope of Allah pull you away from that fire and pull you into the Jannah. Jannah al-Firdaus, inshaAllah. Jannah of what? Of good relationships. Of caring relationships. Of the relationships where the rope wraps around us. The rope of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The rope of adab and akhlaq. Wallahi, wallahi, we are the people of adab. We have to be the people of adab. Not just in our words. In who we are. And then we will find the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us, pulling us away from the fire. This is the month of Ramadan. This is the month to renew our commitment to holding on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Renew your commitment, hold on. There's something called white knuckle it. If you have to, that means that you're holding so tightly that your knuckles are turning white. White knuckle it until it becomes easy, until you're not, it's not hard to hold on because you're wrapped in the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, this month won't end except for that all of us are wrapped, not just individually, but together with the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen. And in that strength, we'll find victory in our personal lives, in our families. Allah hadina ya Rabb. And for all of the Muslims, ya Rabb.
Ameen. What I find, subhanAllah, so interesting about what you just shared, Jazakumullah khair, may Allah reward you. And reward you, Shaykh Abdullah, as well, for what you shared. The rope of Allah, most of the Mufassirun say, is the Qur'an. And this is the month of Qur'an, and there is no month in which the masajid are more full and more people are just attentive to the Qur'an and listening to the Qur'an. No month where people are reading more Qur'an. And if that's the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're inherently wrapped in it. And that is the most unifying factor of the Muslims, is the Qur'an.
Right?
From a belief perspective, we have our creed. Anywhere you go in the Muslim world, where we have differences in culture, differences in practices, differences in interpretation, differences in schools of thought, but everyone's reading the same Qur'an.
Right.
So every tarawih, with the exception of the speed of it, you know, and obviously, you know, the way that it looks in different countries, but every tarawih looks somewhat the same. Every Muslim is reading the same Qur'an. And Allah saying, that's what saved you. SubhanAllah, something deeply profound as well, you know, bringing it all back. Abu Sufyan was on the edge of the pit of the fire.
Ay Allah.
Right? I talked about Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ikramah ibn Abi Jahl, before Ramadan, and an amazing human being. And he used to swear by Allah, Alladhi najani yawm Badr, the one who saved me on the day of Badr, because I could have died and been with my father in the pit of hellfire. But Allah saved me on that day. These people were on the pit of the fire, literally, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. And they instead became people, نَتَرَضَّ عَنْهُمْ. We say, رَضِيَ anhum. May Allah be pleased with that person while we say what we say about their fathers because of how their opposition to the Prophet ﷺ was. So they were once those people too. At the time of the revelation of this verse, they were those people who were still at the pit of the fire, right? So some of the Sahaba were pulled back already. And these other people were there, like at the pit of the fire. Allah was talking about them as well. And I think there's great hope in that redemption as well, right? That just because you're there now at the pit of the fire to the point that it's burning off your eyelashes doesn't mean that you're there yet. The fact that you're still alive doesn't mean that, I mean, it means inherently that you still have a chance to come back.
There's still hope.
There's still hope.
And that's so beautiful because, you know, within this month of Ramadan, those that come to Islam, you know, that were not Muslim, or those that were Muslim and they're trying their best to do their best, and month of Ramadan serves as a catalyst for them. We want to make sure it's a catalyst, right? It's a new beginning. It's not something that is seasonal. I think that's important in regards to the perception of Ramadan for ourselves. And, you know, this may be the first time you pick up the Quran to try to read. You may not be able to read Arabic, but making that effort is what Allah loves. And then the i'tisam bihamdillah, you know, holding firm to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting to know your community. Like you mentioned, you're not going to see the Muslims like you would in the month of Ramadan outside of maybe Hajj. But in every local masjid and community, you see the Muslims at their best, right? You see them together as a community. And then you individually depriving yourself for something that is spiritual to come closer to Allah and sharing that with other people that have the same general faith and belief in you, belief as you, and the belief in the Quran. I think just even reminiscing those moments can increase the iman, wallah. And it's important that, subhanAllah, that in this beautiful month of Ramadan, that taking the opportunity to get to know one or two brothers and sisters to fulfill this verse, because one motivation, as Dr. Tamara mentioned, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ, think of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are upon you by just thinking about those days, thinking about those sins that were there. Because thinking about that sin can serve as a motivation for you to be more sincere and to do an action of sincerity, such as picking up the Quran, such as instead of staying at home, just getting up and going to the nearest masjid and listening to a book that you may not understand the language, but you're there for the right reason. And the reward for that is tenfold. How it's manifest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But what's important is that you have that i'tisam. You hold firmly onto that to the best of your ability. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves.
You know, Ikrima radiallahu anhu, something of his story that I'm really, that I really love is that when he came, you know, he was leaving and he went away on a boat to run away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then his wife, she asked the Prophet ﷺ for amnesty for him, got him, brought him back. Now he's suddenly changed. He wants to be a Muslim. And so he's a Muslim now. He becomes a Muslim. And then he says to the Prophet ﷺ, make dua for me. And suddenly everything has changed. He wants the Prophet ﷺ to make dua for his forgiveness. He wants the Prophet ﷺ to help him hold on to that rope. And the Prophet ﷺ reminds him or tells him what we all know and what we love to tell converts, which is that everything before is forgiven. It's not good enough for him. He swears that every effort and energy he put into fighting against Islam, he will take that now to fight for Islam. And he does. He does it in every way. And subhanAllah, for the converts out there, I want you to think about, and converts, anyone who has has moved from one stage of life to another. The way to make tawbah, the way to move forward, the way to hold on to that rope, to hold on to the Quran, is to put the effort into that you put into whatever it was of this dunya before.
Allahu Akbar.
So if you put in a lot of effort into Allahu your job, Akbar. Like it's not okay for you just to be the first guy who's going to be laid off, for example, or just to be the first, or just to be, he's all right, then that shouldn't be okay for you in deen. Same if you were have grades in school. If it wasn't okay for you to be the C guy getting all Cs, it shouldn't be okay to get all Cs in Ramadan. So get an A in Ramadan with your effort, Don't worry about being tired. Wallah, there's nothing better than being tired. The question we should be asking people is, why aren't you tired? Why aren't you tired? Why aren't you sitting around? We want to be tired, fi sabilillah. Tired. We're tired for so many things that have to do with money and everything else. We want to be tired, fi sabilillah. Tired for Allah. Tired for the Quran. Tired for fasting. Tired for praying. A beautiful tired. A tired that fills us. It doesn't drain us. It's a different kind of tired. It's a tired that doesn't drain us.
SubhanAllah, everything you used to do against Islam, now do it for Islam.
Yeah.
Everything you used to do for self, now do it for Allah. Everything you put in the cause of shaitan, now put it in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's this capacity that Allah has given you. And I think that's what's so powerful, is that the Sahaba had capacity to do great things for Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, all this time that you spent doing what? Like, what did you people used to fight over? What did you used to have all of these divisions, all of this following your desires? What did you used to give for? What was the purpose of your life? Now it's different. You're not doing this anymore for your silly idols or your silly, you know, plaques on the wall, the, you know, in the figurative sense. Like, it's not this anymore. Now it's وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. You want from Allah what they don't want. And you know what's powerful, subhanAllah, is that like those people, the ikramas of the world, they read the Qur'an from both perspectives in their lives. They heard the Qur'an when it was threatening them, when they were disbelievers, and then they read the Qur'an when they were believers, looking back. So تَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. You want from Allah what they don't want. Once upon a time, they were the they. And now they're the you, right?
Yeah.
Like they switched into the beginning of that ayah. Wow. And now they're talking about other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us. And I think that's a good way for us to, inshallah ta'ala, perhaps segue into our final thoughts. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turner of hearts, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Make our hearts firm on your path. We're talking about the hope. Just because you were pulled from the pit of the fire does not mean that you can't find yourself back there either if you become complacent. And so I think that's also something deeply profound as we reflect on these verses, asking Allah for thabat. And in Surah Ali Imran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh Allah, don't let our hearts go astray after you've guided us.
Ameen.
So you don't just take guidance for granted as well. So just a quick last thought from, inshallah, both of you.
Well, Ramadan is the opportunity for all of this. And it is the month of Quran. And I guess I want to speak to those who are on their journey with Quran, but they don't quite feel like they have access to it yet. The Quran belongs to you just as much as it belongs to those who can read Arabic. Your access to it might be different. You might be visiting it in a different way, but make your intention that you are going to learn how to phonetically decode the letters. And who knows, you might be able to do it in this month. Sit with someone else who's reciting so you can listen. Soak yourself in the Arabic of the Quran, because there is a cure, fiya shifa, there is a real cure in the Quran. A cure for what ails you of your painful heart, a cure for what ails you physically, a cure for what ails you spiritually. And inshallah, maybe by next year, you'll be able to read the Quran in its entirety from the beginning to the end, if you really make that intention now.
No, I mean, exactly what you were mentioning, Doctor, is with the making the effort with the Quran. It's possible. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I've met people that memorize the Quran at an older age after embracing Islam. And that is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to everyone. And what's so amazing is, you know, I remember reciting, you know, playing the Quran for my non-Muslim family, and they used to, I like hearing that. You know, they say that song that you're playing, what is that? Can you play that? You know, having the opportunity and the blessing to be able to understand what's being sung and then translate it for them. It's amazing when you think about it. If you're someone that is not a Muslim and they see that, or they see you recite a part of a verse and then your child or a young child that doesn't understand the language recites the rest of it. Shows that this is a miracle and it is far beyond our imagination. So taking time to get with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very important this beautiful month.
Barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you. Jazakumullah khairan.
Thank you.
Dr. Tamer, for being with us as always. Shaykh Abdullah, as always, barakallahu feekum. And to all of you, inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you tomorrow. Bi-idhnillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.